Great to welcome in Steve Goldberg, Melbourne Aces broadcaster, all the way from Boston, sister city to Melbourne. Good to see you, Steve.
Hey, great to see you as well. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Haven't been to Boston, been to Philly, been to New York, haven't headed further north. I'm going to have to get there one day. Do you see the similarities when you come out here?
Yeah, I definitely can, especially over in a neighborhood like this, too, on the east side of Melbourne. Definitely a lot of, similarities. You know, the trams running through the streets, yep. And the metro system as well. Yeah, just, everywhere that you go, you walk into a pub, you see a couple of friendly faces, grab a nice drink in there. So, yeah, definitely a lot of similarities to Boston.
So, apart from being immersed in the Aces, we'll talk about them in a minute. I imagine you come to a place like Melbourne and it's hard not to be immersed in just our sporting culture here. Have you had a chance to go and sample some other sport?
I actually have. I went down to the Melbourne Renegades cricket match a couple of nights ago against the Sydney Sixers.
Yep.
So, that was my first cricket match there. Also hoping to get out to the Australian Open as well coming up next month.
Get there, my friend. That is good value. And I'll tell you what, the spectator experience is going to go up a notch. Expecting a million people in the precinct over the fortnight. It is an amazing event. Just on cricket, I mean, we've seen some exhibition matches recently played in the US. Sort of the older guys, Warney and Sachin Tendulkar. Everyone talks about tapping into that US market. A lot of the expats, of course, with it, from India, Pakistan, Australia, England, in that part of the world. What do you make of the game of cricket, which obviously hasn't really flourished in Northern America, but potentially might do so in the future?
Right. It's definitely something that could, and they brought it over to a couple of cities. I think New York and Los Angeles hosted a couple of matches down there. And and it did pretty well. And you look at what Major League Baseball has been trying to do, bringing the game over here to Australia, and you had the opening series was here last year, the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks, and they faced Team Australia.
Yep.
So they've been doing a lot with baseball down here, and likewise on the other hand with cricket up in the United States. So yeah, we'll see if it catches on.
Yeah, it might be able to grow potentially. It's amazing how it hasn't. When you think, and we're just talking to Fazir Muhammad over there, who of course is across from the Caribbean, that South America don't play cricket. The Caribbean historically have, and Northern America don't play cricket. It's quite fascinating that it hasn't sort of, transferred from the Caribbean into Northern or Southern America.
Right. And it's a world game, too. I mean, you look around Europe, everybody's playing cricket, Africa, Australia. But, just for some reason, North America and South America just never really caught on over there.
Few big sports to contend with. The Melbourne Aces, you're out here, of course, commentating their home games, and people can watch the live stream who don't get out to Altona regularly, and you're getting a good international following as well. And that, I suppose, is the link between Major League Baseball, who have backed the Australian Baseball League here, and it went through its trials and tribulations, went away for a few years, but right now it's got a pretty solid footing, the Australian Baseball League here, courtesy of the MLB.
They really do. I mean, a very big part to all the Australian talent down here. A lot of ex-Major League Baseball players come back and they play for their local clubs in the Australian Baseball League. But on top of that, you get imports from the United States, from Japan. We have a player from Taiwan on the team as well. Mm. So, really, really a good mix of that. Plenty of Europeans throughout the league, not on the Aces, but on different teams in the league. So really just a large world representation going outside of Australia, but, a very, very, very prominent presence here at home as well with a lot of native Melbournians on the team.
No doubt. Tough season for the Aces, but a couple of great wins in Perth yesterday, 6-5 and then 8-1. Tough place to go. Perth aren't quite the same team they were 2 or 3 years ago when they won a couple of ABL titles, but significant. I mean, Melbourne have never won a series, have they, away from here? I mean, if they can maybe get the upper hand for the remainder of this series, this will be a great fillet. And you can sort of make a run in a six-team competition. You can get back on track pretty quickly.
Oh, that's correct. And you look at the standings right now, and the Aces are only one game behind Perth in the ladder. So get a couple of more victories on the road, and all of a sudden you're back here at home around New Year's. A home game coming up, I think the next one is New Year's Eve. Mm. So a four-game series coming up against Brisbane, who's at the top of the ladder right now. You win a few of those games, and all of a sudden things have flip-flopped, and you're right back in the hunt for playoff contention.
You've been close to it, following it every home game. What's been, the major deficiencies for the Aces? In a tight competition, we've spoken to a few players along the journey here on SCN. It seems like it's just little moments here and there. It's not like they've been smashed off the park every week. I mean, Brisbane 22 wins, Melbourne 15. So, you know, there's not a hell of a lot in it, but how have you seen it from your point of view?
Well, you look at Melbourne's 15 wins, and that could easily be 20 wins or 21 wins at the moment. I mean, this is a team that's been, you know, roughly competing in about half of their games. I would even, you know, venture to say more than half of their games. They've led for a lot of the way and then, you know, ultimately just failed to hold on to a lead later. You know, there have been several times this season where the team has rallied back from a 5 or 6 run deficit only to lose that late. You know, all of a sudden you rally back, you tie the game up in the late innings, but, you know, you give up a solo home run in the ninth and, you know, it just kills all the momentum. But, you know, you really, you go and you look at last night's game, especially the first game against Perth, where the Aces, they were trailing 5-0 late in the game. Mm. They scored 5 runs in an inning. I believe it was the 7th inning.
Yep.
And then they came back, you know, tie up the game there, and you score a run in the 9th inning on a wild pitch. And, you know, Perth, they're not going to go away quietly. None of the teams in this league are going to go quietly. They put 2 runners on base in the 9th inning with a chance to score, and Shane Lindsay, a former major league pitcher, shut the door. Got the final out.
Yep. The support for the Aces, I haven't been to a home game this season. I've been to some home games in the past. They were at the showgrounds at one stage, went back out to Altona. People love jumping on a winning team. As an organisation, how do you think they're sort of tracking in general, Steve?
Definitely trending up as an organisation, as far as what I can tell. I mean, I've only been here from this season. But, I mean, as far as this year's numbers go, attendance is up. Sales are up, and, you know, just general fan support is at, you know, an all-time high for the team. So, you know, it's great. Everybody that I've spoken to on the phone has loved their experience when they do get out to the ballpark. I mean, of course, Altona is a bit of a hike from the CBD and from other parts of the city. But, you know, once fans do make their way out there, it's an enjoyable experience. And everybody raves about it. I mean, there's nothing better than just a fun night out at the baseball game.
Well, this is what we talk about with sport in general. I mean, you know, we were at the basketball last night. It's all about capturing those fans who might come along and want to sample your sport. How do you get them to actually stick to say, that was so good, I want to come back a second time, a third time, and a fourth time? And the amount of time now organisations are spending on their whole presentation, pre-game, during the game, just to engage fans, I mean, that has just gone to another level.
Well, one of our main focuses with the Aces is actually just a large focus on the youth baseball community here in Melbourne. And we've had all the different club teams out for numerous events at the ballpark. We actually had a couple of weeks ago in our last home series, we had just an exhibition game out there on the field. So, you know, it was a 7- or 8-year-old club ball team, and they were playing T-ball with a bunch of the players on the Aces. And the players are great, and they really get involved with the kids. And, you know, even obviously you have some of the local guys that are tied into these clubs. But even the guys from outside of Australia that I've, you know, gotten to meet with, the guys from the United States and from Japan, you know, they all want to be involved in the baseball community down here and really foster the growth of the sport.
Steve Goldberg is my guest. Melbourne Aces broadcaster, their next big series, if you want to get out, starting on New Year's Eve, Melbourne hosting the Brisbane Bandits, Steve. 4-game series, and a big guest coming along for that series.
Of course. Actually, Baseball Hall of Famer George Brett is going to be in town. He was a former Kansas City Royal, and he's now their VP of Baseball Operations. So he was a part of the club that won the World Series this year, just from the front office side of things now, but, you know, one of the best third basemen of all time, and we'll be lucky enough to have him as a guest coach for the Aces New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So those are both 7:05 games, and yeah, they should be big ones. And in addition to that, ESPN will be televising our game on Sunday. So the ABL just has a new deal with ESPN here in Australia.
Fantastic.
Fox Sports Asia and MLB Network. So we're doing a game of the week. The Aces will be on it 3 times, so once yesterday, this coming Sunday, and then in a few weeks on the road at Sydney.
Good reach, going into plenty of homes. Hey, sport on Christmas Day. We've been taking a few calls this morning. We sort of talk about it here on SEN this time every year, and then James Sutherland, the CEO of Cricket Australia, has floated that they may look at the Big Bash, the 2020 Big Bash on Christmas Day. For a lot of people here, it's tough to get our head around being a traditional family day. Very different in the US. We always see the 5 NBA games. Give us your own take on what Christmas Day actually means to Americans and how, you know, you incorporate sport.
Yeah, I mean, sport on the holidays is big. I mean, Christmas Day for one of them, but, you know, also Independence Day in the summer, July 4th baseball games. You have Thanksgiving, you know, really tied in closely with football. You know, the NFL games and now college football has followed as well on Thanksgiving. And the New Year's games as well. So, you know, the college football bowl games will be going on New Year's. You have the NHL's Winter Classic. So having sport on the holidays, I mean, it's a very close tie-in in the United States.
So for a typical family, I mean, we're talking about a country with a huge population. So we're talking about, you know, a small pocket of that going along and watching five NBA games, say, across the day. So people who are season ticket holders who wouldn't miss a game and go to 40-odd home games, that would just be part of their day. They'd sort of fit, you know, lunch or dinner around it, or they celebrate Christmas Day in a different way. Maybe it's more a Christmas Eve celebration or the day after. Can you give us sort of an insight into that?
Yeah, some families do it different, and, you know, it really depends on game time and where you are around the country. But, you know, some people, like you said, work it into their daily routine and celebrate Christmas with the family and then, you know, skip off and go and watch the game at night. You know, for other sports, I mean, basketball is not really one of them, but football is just a huge tailgating sport.
Yeah.
So on Thanksgiving Day, you'll have a lot of your Thanksgiving meals will actually be revolving around tailgates. So you'll see people out in the parking lots cooking turkeys instead of cooking hamburgers or, you know, beef sandwiches or, you know, other things like that. You'll just have, you know, people grilling turkeys out there with their families.
There you go. Totally, you know, different culture.
Yeah. I mean, sport is just, you know, very, very incorporated with the American holidays and with Christmas as well.
You'd be keeping a close eye as being just a mad sports fan. The NFL, we're getting towards the business end of the home and away season. Playoffs are looming. A lot of games this morning. Our very own Jared Hayne back on the park. It's probably been arguably the biggest sports story in this country. How have you viewed an Australian coming in? We've seen a few punters over the years. They play a totally different role. But in Jared Hayne's case, trying to come from one of our national codes here, the NRL, and make it in the NFL. How have you viewed it?
Well, I mean, I really think it's just a newfound interest in the league down here. I mean, people are following the NFL games day in and day out like you may not necessarily do with, say, a punter from Australia. You know, you're not necessarily glued to the TV for hours just to see somebody kick the football and run off the field. But, you know, Hayne is involved in the action, and especially as you saw today, actually made a huge impact in the game. And it's great to see from somebody from right down here in Australia.
Despite the 49ers, going down 32-17 with some injuries, the door has been left open for him to come back onto the roster. I mean, can you see him, from what you're seeing, as someone that's followed the NFL, can you see him maybe being able to have some success and stick this out?
Yeah, here and there. You know, especially you mentioned injuries playing a factor in that as well. And, you know, as we get deeper and deeper into the season, you know, some teams' rosters get weaker and, you know, there are opportunities for other guys to step up, like in Hayne's case today. But, you know, I think he's huge for the 49ers. I mean, not only on the field, but also off the field, what he brings to the table. I mean, you're really tapping into a new market globally that wouldn't be tuning into NFL games. And not only just any NFL game, but they're tuning into 49ers games. So, you know, all of a sudden you're reaching out to a completely different part of the world. And if you're the 49ers, I don't see why you wouldn't want a guy like that on the team.
Yeah, I think it is number one. We're going to do that little straw poll later in the week. Your number one sporting story from an Australian perspective. Live in the NFL at New Orleans 24, Jacksonville 6, Arizona leading Green Bay at the half 17-0, St. Louis 16-3 leading Seattle at the moment. A lot of games completed. How are you looking at sort of the playoff picture at the moment? We know the Panthers have had an unbelievable season, Carolina, but we know the playoffs is another story.
Oh, it's completely different. You have the Patriots today. They fell to the Jets in overtime, so it's another loss for them, and I think they've lost 3 out of 4 now. So they're kind of reeling at the moment, and, you know, they were looking like one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl again, of course, defending champions. And like you mentioned, Carolina, they suffered their first loss of the season, and you know, sometimes that's a good thing, you know, get that loss out of the way with earlier before you go into the playoffs. And, you know, obviously no team in the league is perfect. And, you know, the playoffs will be a great time this year, as always.
Who do you like to win it, if you want to say something right now?
Well, I mean, personally, I'm a Patriots fan.
Yep.
So, you know, some bias on that end. But, you know, throwing that aside, I think Carolina is a very deep team. And, of course, you always have to watch out for Green Bay when it comes to playoff time as well.
Steve, only got about 30 seconds or so, but quickly, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Give us some insight into that.
I think the biggest thing for the ballot this upcoming year is the amount of guys on the list who have used steroids in the past, and what do you do with them? You know, you have Barry Bonds, you have Sammy Sosa, and, you know, as you've seen in the past, they haven't voted Mark McGwire in. Do you vote Sosa in? Do you vote Bonds in? I mean, Bonds is your all-time home runs leader. Do you really leave him out of the Hall of Fame? And then, you know, the voters may end up doing that. Of course, some other great names on the list as well. Ken Griffey Jr., one of them notably.
We'll wait and see with great interest. Hey, great to spend some time with you.
Hey, absolutely. It was well great to be on. Thank you.
What you're doing out here with the Aces. They might be able to get on a roll. Who knows? Massive series against Brisbane, who are top of the ABL standings at the moment. But get out to Altona, folks. Of course, game on New Year's Eve and also on New Year's Day. So perfect time to get out and sample another sport. Good luck, Steve. Good to have you in.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All the way from Boston.